What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that may as well be called Mr. Ed because it's a bit hoarse. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Yeah, very well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
You sure?
Yeah, positive.
Good to hear it, pal. Hey, in the words of Blank Check, what's with your voice, pal?
I was out on Friday night up in Dublin.
Oh, big smoke.
I got a last-minute invite to go see Shane Gillis live in the Three Arena.
Comedian?
Yeah.
Is your voice sore from laughing?
And talking over loudness and, you know, going
after
to
the
pub.
Event,
yeah, during the event as well. Weird crowd, I've got to say.
Really?
Weird. There was a guy wearing a Trump hat. Like two rows behind me. And I don't know, like, do you know any Shane Gillis' stuff?
Not really, but I just keep hearing of him being held in very high regard.
He's very funny.
Is he?
He's kind of right of centre.
Okay, yeah.
In that he will do jokes about Down syndrome, races, stuff, whatever. But he's clever about it and he knows kind of what he's doing.
Yeah.
So
it's tongue in cheek,
he appeals to, say, people who would have similar comic sensibilities to myself, and then people who are like at the event, and I'm like, oh, okay, like you're like men's rights guys, I get you.
Yeah,
like
I'm just here to agree with him rather than to laugh at him.
Yeah, or like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like he was like talking about like how he played for the white football team. And we played against the black football team. And like half the crowd started booing when he said like the black football team.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, what? Oh, okay. And then he's like, you guys didn't like that? Like he was kind of surprised when they started booing.
Wow. So they're super. So like he's slightly right of center, but a lot of his crowd are very far.
They seem to be. Like, as I say, it's a Make America Great Again hat. Wow. And he was like, I'd be pretty sure he was Irish. He looked Irish, the guy wearing that. I know that's weird to say.
Yeah.
Because it could be just an American guy, but. He had an Irish head on him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, big head.
Big Irish head on him.
big head, small face.
Honestly, the two guys, I think one of them is on his podcast, and then one of them was kind of like Lewis Black Light. Do you know Lewis Black?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like doing an impression of him and like just marching up and down the stage.
Right.
And it was kind of like...
In the Three Arena, did you say?
Yeah, Three Arena.
Do you know, I was at Tom Segura in the Three Arena.
Tom Segura, I would kind of put in that sphere as well. He's kind of like right of centre.
Yeah.
But intelligent, like.
Yeah, exactly. Where, like, you know he's intelligent, but, like, he will say the anti-woke thing or something. You know
what I mean? Yeah. And he'll make fun of it.
I found I was constantly... Now, shocker, but I found myself being too fixated on the crowd... Because I'm like, sit down. Everyone's just getting up, walking around. Everyone's going to the bathroom all the time. And even if it's not my row, I'm like, the gig is over here, and I'm just watching everyone. Everyone's just a sea of people. Like.
I will say, we had primo seats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Down low? Ooh.
Okay. Too slow.
Who'd you go with?
Friend of the podcast.
What's his name?
P.E.
P.E.? Ah, P.E.
And then we met Eric. You love this. Met up with our pal Andy Ryan afterwards for and John Harnett.
Unbelievable.
It was a great. It came together last minute on a Friday night.
Sweetness.
It's great.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it sank quite a few Orchard Thieves.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that night.
It's been a while since you've probably
had pints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than your fair share of pints.
Yeah, and no dinner as well.
Oh. Hmm. Old school.
Yeah. And then I had to get the 8 o'clock train home the next day.
Ooh. So you've been suffering for about 2 days? Still suffering?
No. Hangover gone Sunday. But Saturday was not good.
No.
And we had a friend coming down to stay with her little fella. And, you know, thankfully they didn't come down until about 3 o'clock. So when Gus went for his nap, I was able to nap on the couch for a bit. And then Faye took Bonnie to the gardening centre. So I was like, right, I'm going upstairs. And I got like an hour and a half. Kip in. But I woke up soaked with sweat and was like cold, and I was like,
"This is worse.
I'm sick. Faye, I'm running the temperature."
You get no sympathy after a night out, tell you that. Not.
And they don't deserve it, to be honest. Like,
even when we were having just a few quiet drinks in that house a few months ago, I'm like, I was, well, the next day it was a complete write off. I find I eat a lot of shite, like donuts, like sugary shit when I'm hungover. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You, like you need thing? The electrolytes.
That must be it. Yeah, my body's craving. But even on the Monday and all that, I was still like, my voice was an octave lower still. You know what I mean?
That's what mine is kind of like as well.
Quite,
I, on Saturday,
sensual, on if I may say.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh, even the way you said that.
On Saturday, I knew, I was like, oh, like I hadn't spoken until like Faye, because like my parents were still asleep when I was leaving. She rang me on the phone, the kids and I was on the train, and I was like, oh,
hey, yes, sweetheart.
And it was like, oh, I can't
Mommy,
actually,
who's that man?
I can't say a word. My vocal cords are that strained. Like, and then I was like, I'm sorry, today's going to be really annoying for you. I know.
Was this just because you were in a loud pub?
Yeah, and probably that, and drinking. And so, and I had a bit of a sore throat going into it. Honestly, since I left you that note, voice note being like, hey, hope you're feeling better, buddy.
Yeah.
Then I was like, struck you. My voice feels.
I sent it through the phone.
So actually, that's a bit of housekeeping why we haven't had an episode.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't remember why the first week.
Chicken box.
Was that chicken box the first time.
I have chicken box in my house. I got second case for it at the moment. Yeah. You're lucky to be getting this podcast, to be honest.
And then last week was me, because then our whole house had the flu. Kerry had a chest infection. Kerry's pregnant. I don't know if I actually mentioned that on the pod.
Hey, play the clip. What? Play the clip.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, do we still have it? Yeah, I probably do. We're having a third child. And I was saying to Kerry, I was like, Terry's known for months, but I was saying like, I've been so vocal about how I never want to have another kid.
Yeah.
So as it turns out,
should have got the vasectomy.
Tony got one last week, and I'm like, did I inspire you? He's like, yep, you sure did. So we have, see, this is the thing, we went to the doctor and then it was like,
I
haven't even had a scan yet, and she's like 4 months or something, because the doctor kept fucking it up and like, no, yeah, shouldn't I have got something from the hospital by now? And then turned
12
out
weeks.
They never sent it, and then we went again and she was like, oh, I don't know why that was never sent, I'll mark this as urgent. Like, 2 weeks went by, nothing again. So I just called the hospital and arranged a scan. Like, joke. But, so we have a thing on Thursday.
I was a boy.
Me too.
Yeah.
And Kerry does too, for my benefit. And Joni also hopes it's a boy. It'll be a girl.
Yeah. Of course it will.
100%. Yeah. But anyway, she had a chest infection, still has a chest infection. So that was the reason why I couldn't do it last week. So I felt, the first week I was like, you know what, we were pretty consistent. But the second week I was like, I hate missing two in a row.
Like, we, at least we got to do the Patreon the first week.
Oh yeah, we did.
We got to do Ocean's 13, available if you sign up for the low fee of €5 per month.
Yeah,
part of our 2007 miniseries,
which we will also be, after we record this one, looking at another movie from 2007.
Gone, Baby Gone.
Plenty to say on that one.
Good.
That. Hey, I'll tell you what I have been watching, Terry.
Yeah,
on your recommendation and everyone else's.
Did you go for it?
Adolescence.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I did. Watched the whole thing.
Wow.
What
do you think?
Overall, I thought it was very good.
It's pretty amazing. Like,
I thought it was very, very good. I didn't think it was perfect, and there were some episodes I liked more than others.
Which one was your fave?
One.
Was it?
100%.
Ah, 4 was mine.
Was it?
4 was my favorite.
I thought one was incredible. 2 was good. 3 kind of annoyed me a little bit, but it had its moments.
But 3 is like the one everybody's like, this is the episode of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't really like 3. But then 4, it kind of came back around for me, you know what I mean? Because I think it helped the fact that I had heard from people in work that 4 was a letdown. So, possible spoilers.
4 is my favourite.
Adolescent. But they were, I think everyone was expecting like the outcome of the case. You
That's
know?
Why I liked it, that it wasn't some fucking stupid like court case. Order, you know, like.
I mean to ask it all week because I was... It's so gripping because it's all the one shot, or seemingly the one shot. I've never seen it done so well. You know, like sometimes you see it where it's like, oh, the camera will zoom in on your back and then zoom back out and it's supposed to all be the same take.
There's a movie on Netflix starring Stephen Graham by the same director.
Oh, Boiling Point?
Yes. Have you seen it?
No, but I want to.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And then they did a TV series, 4 episodes of it. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
One shot for BBC, which I haven't But like,
but it's not all one take.
Boiling Point is one take.
But it's not actually.
Yeah, no, it is. It's 90 minutes of one take.
One take?
Yeah.
On Boiling Point. So yeah.
Like, same with this. Like,
if
so
one person fucks up in minute 57,
yeah,
they got to do it again.
So what they did with this one, each time, was they had 3 weeks rehearsal for each episode. And they would do 1 week rehearsal with just the actors, 1 week rehearsal with the actors and the cameras, and then they would run through it before they filmed it on the last week. I think it was twice a week.
Oh, so it actually was all one take?
Yeah, it's like theatre. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
holy shit.
So that's...
I thought like, oh, well, they're obviously doing something.
No, it's...
Wow.
And like the behind the scenes stuff, like the bit at the end of episode two where there's like a drone shot, like the behind the scenes is like they're handing it off and they're putting the camera onto a drone and then it goes off. But obviously like the camera's facing forward so you don't see it, but they've practiced it enough times that they can do it smoothly enough.
That's incredible.
That, you know, it goes up and then it comes down and like Stephen Graham is getting out of the car, put the flowers down or whatever.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I will say, I thought, I mean, Stephen Graham's fucking brilliant, isn't he though?
There's the little things. Like my whole thing with Faye was like, do you want to watch this? I was like, Friday night. I was like, I don't want to watch this on my Friday night.
That was my thinking. Like, it's going to be heavy. Yeah. It's going to be something to do with kids.
So I said no.
Yeah.
And she started watching it. And I was like, I enjoy watching your grim thing. No. I'm going in to like make dinner. And then I don't think she finished it on Friday. And then on Sunday, she was watching the end of episode two. So I'd actually missed the first two episodes. And then I came in and I was like arsing about my phone.
Yeah.
And episode three had just started. And I was like, so what's going on? Oh, he did he do it? And she's like, well, it looks like he did or whatever, because you see the footage, but they don't really show you the footage.
Yeah.
And they're doing all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I was like, and who's this one? She's like, oh, she's just come into it now. She's like the social worker. And I was like, okay. And then like I was on my phone. And then I was kind of the bit about halfway through the episode where she goes out to get the second cup of hot chocolate. I was like, has the camera stayed with her the whole time? And Faye was like, maybe. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's all shot in one. Oh, like boiling. And then like the penny kind of dropped. But it kind of gripped me before that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, in for the rest of that episode and then episode four, and then I went back and watched one and two.
And did she not actually cop in the first two episodes that it was?
I think
all
she did.
Same?
I think she did. Like yourself, though, I was like, but it's not really one
That's
take.
The thing, like, that, it's so smooth, and I was like, there's absolutely no way that they could choreograph.
No, they did. Like,
wow, that's like, but thrice as impressive as what I thought. I was like, oh, they've masked it around the body or something, or you
the
know,
thing that
industry
is,
term.
Is so. I don't know, affecting for me.
Yeah.
Is that like, it's this horrible thing. And if you haven't watched it, it's the idea is a 13-year-old boy is suspected of murdering
a girl in his class or school.
And
or whatever.
It kind of relates to incel culture and stuff like that. And there's all, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Really fucking scary shit, to be honest. Like,
for sure.
You know, many years they'll have to deal with the internet and my children, thankfully. But, like, the thing that I found so affecting was like they bring him to the police station in episode one.
Yeah.
And the big guy behind the desk is like, you're out there, son.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'm just going to ask. And I'm like, they're all just doing their best.
Yes.
As well in this horrible situation where it's like, he's like, have you had breakfast? All right.
That's what I love.
Like that, weirdly, I was like, because I'd seen the, you know, I knew what had happened in three and four.
Yeah,
when I went back and watched one, I was like, I was getting like, almost emotional, like for this guy behind the desk being like treating him
nice
so nicely or whatever like that. Like,
yeah, I thought like some of the side sort of cop characters really added to it, because I really liked in the first one the procedural element of it. I was like, oh, this is literally how it happens.
Would be, yeah.
From when you go in, and this is how they probably talk to you if you're that age, and this is what you do, and then they explain everything. And the fact that it's all in real time, I loved. That it's not like the next day or like an hour later.
It
it's
keeps
all,
you in it. Like, keeps
it's
you
that
present.
45 minutes or 50 minutes of like just straight, like, so you know when you're going into it, like, this is only going to be an hour in the life of whatever is going on.
And it, like, it's so, like, it's such a wise decision, say, doing it in Doncaster, but having Stephen Graham and his wife be scousers.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of like fish out of water.
Yeah.
And like him being like, sorry, love, you were in my house. You know, can you tell what's going on? Like, but he still has the mannerisms or whatever. Because he's like, I've no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't want to get it wrong from a little lad. Like, all that stuff. And like, when it comes to episode four, when it's like a year later.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he's just incredible when they're in the van and they're driving along and it's like, we're getting the day back, you know, like somebody has spray painted his van
with a
slur, and him and his family, and you can kind of see
he's just hanging on.
And his mind, like, he's driving the van. First of all, incredibly impressive acting and driving at the same time.
Yeah.
Because,
like, I'm, like, it's terrible. Like, I assume everything, like I was saying to you before with, like, a green screen or whatever. Like, I assume, like, they just did that.
Yeah.
But there's no way they actually, like, do you see them actually take the time and to do it different?
They pull into, you know, a fucking,
I was like, are they getting pulled by a trailer or something?
It's like, it's him. But, like, there's bits in it where, you know, they're talking about how him and his wife fell in love and all that. And then you just kind of see, if you look, because you can choose, you know, it's front and center of the three, the husband, the wife, and the daughter. You just see his little, you see his face, like his mind is going somewhere. Think when they kind of mention Jay or anything like that. Like, you just see like him kind of worry or what, you know, and then kind of pull himself back in and be like, we're going to the movie, we're going to the pictures, stuff. Yeah. Like him trying to convince himself that, like, oh, we're going to have a nice birthday for me, you know,
we're going
to
get it back.
Yeah,
and then, and his wife was, I thought,
incredible,
so good, like, so. Me and Kerry were chatting about it, and I was like, such a real character. Like, but like, I was surprised how good she was because I hadn't seen her before, and I was like, oh, this is like a proper, like, just like a person that you would you would know or talk to, like, reacting exactly the way you would, and all this sort of stuff. And then the bit at the end again, sorry, spoiler alert, but. Where, like, they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, it's all gonna be fine, and then he just completely breaks down in the kid's room, and that part where he tucks in the teddy and kisses it and says sorry, son, I welled up at that. I was like, oh my god, like that,
I
do you know what I mean?
I actually, I don't know if they're saying it's a bit much, but it was actually all the smaller bits for me where she's like, we don't have to go to the pictures, or we don't, and he's like, no, we will.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
She's like, no, like, you're not okay to go. And he's like,
you sure?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, thank you. Like, he just let it all, like, kind of, he breathes out this, like, ugh.
I tell you, he's fucking shredded as well.
That's because he was doing another show on Disney Plus called 1,000 Blows, where he plays, like, a boxer in the, like, the 20s.
He had, like, a boxer sort of.
And it's like,
physique.
He's got ripped for that. I was like, look how fucking big he is. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he's doing that other show. Like,
he looks like he's made of fucking granite. Like, you know what I mean?
But he's great. Like,
he's so, like, he's one of the few actors now that, like, he would draw me into something. You know what I mean? Like this. Like, I think if he wasn't the star,
and he
wouldn't have been my access point.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he created it. Like, you know, like.
Did I say executive producer, Brad Pitt?
Yes, you did.
Hey,
man.
He's always got his hand in some.
I went on a deep dive of his executive producer credits. Man, he's got
a few. He's got good taste. Ones, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he has an Oscar for, you know, he has two Oscars, one for acting and one for producer.
Oh.
He produced 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
And that one Best Picture. He shows up in it for like 5 minutes at the end. But like, he has a sneaky, like, kind of like Bradley Cooper as well, you know, has a sneaky bunch of,
like, you just credits. See in something you'd never expect to see him in. It's like, what's he, is that the same Brad Pitt? Like, there's only one Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
But there's only one Brad Pitt in every movie as well, as you know. Scoffing. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. So yeah,
great
recommendation.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed.
Yeah, what else has been going on with you? Huh?
I've been reading a book.
Oh, wasn't ready for that.
I've been reading a book that is going to be made into a movie.
There we go.
Soon.
Here we fucking go. He's managing to
guess who wrote the book.
PTA.
Close. He's another director that we've covered recently.
Wes
Michael Mann.
Oh, right.
The title of the book?
Manpower.
Heat 2.
Oh. Well, they're making it into a movie?
Yes, they are.
De Niro, Pacino?
Well, no.
Oh, no, they can't.
Yeah. It's 30 years old.
Prequel? De-aging again?
Prequel and sequel. So the book...
What?
So the book is about the prequel and a sequel.
So it jumps ahead. It jumps...
So it picks up ahead. Straight after the movie ends.
Huh.
And it's all about Val Kilmer's character.
Huh.
And then it jumps back in time to the 80s, about 8 years beforehand, to Chicago, where Pacino is like trying to like catch this serial home invader rapist character.
Okay.
But also De Niro's crew are in Chicago as well, setting up their own kind of scores as well.
Right. And so be honest, is it good so far?
Very good. I'm very much enjoying it. I'm excited to see who they would possibly cast as
DiCaprio.
For who?
Val Kilmer. This character.
A bit too old for Val Kilmer. Now, I'm thinking Austin Butler.
Yeah?
For Kilmer.
In the 80s?
Well, yeah, I'd say.
Right.
And then just afterwards as well. You may just make him look a bit older.
Is Val Kilmer dead?
Nobody can't speak. He's throat cancer. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then they're talking about Adam Driver maybe as De Niro.
No, we can't have him as De Niro.
Adam Driver is incredible.
Are we just going to forget about what they look like? It's like this is a reimagining of the story. Like,
why, are you too tall?
He's too, yes, he's too tall. He's too everything.
Okay.
Like, you can't play De Niro. Like,
who would you have as De Niro?
I don't know.
There's talk of Oscar Isaac as Pacino. Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
You know, I don't know if it'll be the same without them. I don't have any inclination to watch that at all.
Would you not?
No.
Even though it's Michael Mann, like.
He means nothing to me.
Yeah, what about Thief? What about Collateral?
Thief was great. Collateral was great. Heat was great.
Yeah.
But Heat had De Niro and Pacino. Collateral had Cruz. And what was the other one you mentioned?
Thief had Khan.
Thief had Khan.
But he can pick these guys.
Well, look, if he can nail the casting, but it's got to be something that makes me go, ooh.
Mm, you know, okay. I'm excited.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When's the movie coming out?
Dunno.
Summer of 2028. Hey, can I shift gears for a sec and talk to you about something that's breaking news today in the sports world?
Sure.
Well, not necessarily breaking, because we've known about it for a year.
Trent?
Yeah.
He's gone.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
This new guy who works in the office, Jack.
Liverpool fan, is he?
No, but he said yesterday about, oh, so Trent's gone. And I was like,
come on,
hadn't heard anything about it. I was like, where do you hear this? You know, been so dismissive, and now I see it everywhere.
I saw Fabrizio.
Yeah,
put something.
He annoys me big time.
Yeah, I'm more of an Ornstein guy myself.
Me too.
Now, Fabrizio was just like update.
It's a glory
update
hunter.
For nothing. Like, you know what I mean?
Why did he have to? Like, he made a video today. It was like, Trent Alexander-Arnold is blah, 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 as reported. What, like, everything's like as reported 1 year ago. Like, I said it. Remember, I said it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, just give us the scoop. Yeah, fucking.
I mean, he spent a whole summer going on about fucking Frankie DeJong.
Yeah,
he just says everything. United, and I'm like, still not here.
As
man.
Reported when?
Yeah, still not here. As reported 4 years ago, he finally has signed for United.
But I kind of think I knew it was going to happen. Like, that was the one that I kind of thought, okay, well, that's
one of the three that was definitely, like...
Yeah. I just... Do you know what? I don't, like...
Who do you bring in? Kiss him goodbye.
All right.
He's gone.
All right, well, we don't have to be... It's got to be so final.
What?
Well, I mean, it is final, yeah, but I'm not ready.
He's a jerk, though, like...
He is a jerk. If Conor Bradley wasn't so fucking good, I'd be more pissed off.
You think he's their
he's
long-term?
A bit more traditional. I think Conor Bradley could be the best right back in the league in a year or two.
Hmm.
I mean, if not before then, if any, to be honest, because I think he's really, really good. But
yeah, if you like to play with fullbacks, sure. If you're still into that, if you're still into that traditional fullback game,
but yeah, like, do you know what? Like, I think as a person, he can play wherever he wants. And I do think it's a little unfair that the Scouse lads are held to a different standard.
I think it's stupid.
To the others, you know what I mean? Now, granted, they do get lauded way more when they're there. But when they leave, it's like, what, just because you're Scouse, you can't play anywhere else?
Yeah.
The contract situation, I mean, okay, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the impression that he didn't sign a new contract knowing that he was going to go to Real Madrid, thinking, it'll be harder for me to go if I make this deal.
Of course.
You know what I mean? That's the whole thing, right?
But didn't they come in with an offer for him?
In Jan, yeah.
Yeah.
So
just take it.
Yeah, so I don't know. But you can't.
I guess you're challenging on four fronts.
Yeah, like that'd be really burning bridges.
Now you could be like, well, we've got the league in the bag, so we may as well sell him.
Yeah. People don't seem to be taking it well. I tell you that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll tell you one thing. I seen a thing only today where Steve McManaman, of all people, was talking about
Mr. Brosnan, like Pierce Brosnan. That's free.
Yeah, that's good. Where he was talking about when he won the league or Champions League with Real, and it was like he said, I was only there 10 months, and we'd won the big thing, and I had never won it, and like, but everyone was singing in Spanish and lifting the president up, so I just joined in and all this, and all the time I kept thinking, I really would love to have done this with Liverpool because I'd be at the forefront of all the celebrations and getting. But he kind of felt a bit sheepish because he was, you know, in a foreign place and he didn't know anyone and all this, and like, I don't know why, I just kind of think like, now granted Trent will have his fucking BFF there and all this sort of shit. I think
football's due for it now as well.
Like, I think it is probably now, but do you know what, I would say I don't think it's going to be as good for him there, and maybe that's just me being slightly sour
and
about it.
Like, their odds on to win the Champions League every year, that Madrid team,
yeah, maybe
always finds a way.
But what,
like, yeah, you know what I mean?
And will it mean more, Terry? That's the question. Because as you know, famously, this does mean more on this side.
Guys, like,
so that's the question. Will it mean more, Terry? You know,
probably.
He'll be fucking loving it.
Well, it's okay. Let's put it
Spanish
this way.
Lass.
Put it this way: that Cup Champions League final win that he got against Spurs, did that mean so much?
Yeah.
Dodgy penalty, shite game.
100% a pen. Okay. All just right. Unfortunately, it was in the first few seconds.
All right. 100% pen.
But we deserve to win the game. That's
fucking
just,
shite game.
One of the worst finals of all time. Yeah. I will give you that.
But it meant so much.
Yeah. Because he's a Scouse lad and he's winning the Champions League with Liverpool.
Think back on it. Like, it's a real wet fart of a Champions League win. Like,
the quality of the match, yeah. But like, the trophy's the trophy. Like,
yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
Like,
you see that? Well, you wouldn't have. You see that 8-minute clip of Klopp going around full time? You wouldn't have watched the 8 minutes
of
it. But I'll tell you, on a slightly separate note, see fucking Clattenburg is doing the rounds now on this overlap thing. What a fuck! I didn't know how much I hated this guy.
He's on the overlap.
Yeah,
now.
And he's talking about like Klopp. He's like, it's like, so I said, yeah, well, fucking, you know, like, he's this sort. And he's like, he was talking about, oh, when Klopp was manager at Dortmund and they were playing Real, and Marcelo asked Clattenburg for a picture for some reason, and Clattenburg took the picture and Klopp walked past. He's like, oh, is that why we lost 3-0? And he's like, you're lucky you only lost 3-0. Now fuck off. And like,
yeah, I'm sure,
fucking
like,
crickets. That's what all the comments were like, didn't happen. But like,
is it
even in the studio
live,
like,
or like,
it's that Carragher Skulls fan debate.
Oh, it's that
show. I don't
the worst
watch
branch of
I don't watch
overlap,
it at all,
like,
but I seen the clip today. And I was just like, when I watched that, I was like, he was expecting the room to explode with that joke. And it's just like, like, fucking this, anyway, egomaniac.
I don't like him. I don't like that show because
I think you need someone who's not Skulls.
Yeah, Skulls is a fucking drag.
He's a drip.
Man, he is a fucking drag.
I think, yeah. And like when I see, like, you know, fair enough, Carragher's, you know, love him or hate him, but Skulls is just so like, oh, yeah. Really? Like, how do you
everything is like,
oh, Rory from Chelsea, and
that's actually,
you know, all this
these,
other shit.
These
yeah.
are like the other day. Like, I hate this section of like football punditry commentary mixing with what I would consider quote unquote legitimate, because I actually want to hear what Roy Keane has to say. I want to hear what guys that have played at the highest level. I want their insight. I don't want the, and I apologies to esteemed colleague over here. I don't want the insight of somebody like me.
Yeah.
Who just has never played.
Who's just talking.
And like, I like football and I know what I have to say. Save that for the pub. I will enjoy having that conversation with you in the pub. What are you doing on my phone? What are you doing on my TV?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have a fucking Saturday social thing.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no, it's not for me.
No, and like, if some people like it, great. I don't want to yuck your yum, but like,
yuck your yum.
I can't get my head around it, and it's like, and it's just everywhere, and everybody has an opinion, and you know what? That's fine, I guess. Maybe it's more for me that I need to police We have an opinion here. People listen to us. And you know what? Great.
But you know what? We don't just say shit for the sake of, you know, clicks or... No. To our detriment, if anything.
Yeah. We need to be more savvy.
We should learn take a page out of their book. But you know what I did on Twitter recently? And I tell you, I haven't looked back. I muted certain words. Right? So I muted McGregor. I muted immigration. I muted migrant. I muted Trump. And I muted Musk. And I have to say, it has been a breath of fresh air.
I kind of like the Trump stuff, to be honest.
Yeah,
I like the updates of, like, did you see the thing?
What's he done today?
Well, just like, it was like his Secretary of Defense, like, included a reporter from The Atlantic in a WhatsApp group about how they're going to, like, bomb Yemen. And it's like J.D. Vance and, like, Pete Holgard, and, like, your man is in the group. And it's like, well, if you think we should go for it, then go for it. I'm like, seriously? What the fuck?
This is it.
I'm in it for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, really. These people.
Yeah, I know. Nero is fiddling as Rome burns.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it. Like, did you see...
The Garen Noon thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? I saw the original video that he made. And I thought, I didn't think anything of it. I kind of thought, yeah, okay, it's kind of balanced. Like, you know, just saying a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then it was the after, I didn't think there was anything particularly too controversial about what he said, or at least I didn't pick up on it. And I was just going about my day, and then I kept seeing all these far right things saying, you know what, I had a lot of negative shit to say to him, but now
they've co-opted it.
Who knew he was on our side the whole time? And then the other side went how could he say that? And I was just like, oh my Christ.
Like,
what a fucking...
It's tough because I don't agree with what he's saying about people...
Oh, go on.
...being afraid to leave their houses and stuff like that, because of immigration and, you know, that's not my experience.
But did he say it was because of immigration, though?
He said the...
He put out a video yesterday clarifying all that shit.
He's back on social media.
Yeah, he's back, with a big, 10-minute video.
That was quick.
Yeah, I know. So I said that to Kerry, she's he'll be back. Yeah.
Okay, well, I kind of feel less bad about it then, because I was like, and then he had to...
He's like, what I absolutely did not say was blah, 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 and
he said something about, how the system is failing. And to a point, I agree with him, but I don't agree with it that it's failing to the extent... It's not my experience anyway. I don't know, but he's like, people are afraid in their local communities and, you know, all this stuff. And I was kind of like... that's not...
They will scoop that right up and say, you see?
But, yes, they will. And on the flip side, I think if you're saying that on a platform that you have, a big platform, you know, people are going to disagree with you. Yeah, and it's their right to disagree with you as well. You know, you're putting the stuff out there. And I at the start, he was like, I shouldn't even be talking about this. And then proceeded to talk about it.
I
was like, okay, well,
I just realized, I knew obviously he's big, he's a big name because he's got millions of followers, but how overwhelming would that be? Imagine just having a thing and it's gone viral and then and all of a sudden you're just people love your stuff and now you say this one thing and there's just Twitter that was awash.
I can understand.
He's dead. All these photos of him this.
I saw one. It's I was the first to speak out about Garrett. I'm like, what's after happening?
Yeah. You know what I mean? How overwhelming would that be?
Oh, completely.
To be just a guy. You know what I mean?
Fuck. And this kind of ties into the fucking adolescence thing. Is that social media is a mistake? It has kind of ruined...
everything.
Yeah. I mean, at the weekend, I was watching Something About Mary with my wife and a friend, and it was in the night. It's 98, and I was like, I just want to go back to the 90s, don't you?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
You want to go back to it where it's you want to look somebody up down in Miami, you got to hire a claims investigator named Pat Healy. Simpler times.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do think it's possibly my favorite comedy of all time.
You think so?
I think so. I think
I haven't seen it in years, but I just remember the laugh per minute ratio on that movie.
And you know what? The script is incredible.
Yeah.
Because it jumps from you have the whole piece at the start when he's in high school, and then I forgot how funny a joke it is. Like, he's sitting there in the chair and he's like, and I never saw her again. And like, the therapist chair is empty. And your man is like sneaking back, Richard Jenkins, yeah. Like, and he's sneaking back in after having lunch, like, and he's completely bored. He's like, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, checked out. And then like Ben Stiller mentions, and then I pulled over at a rest station on the highway, and he's like, you see it, like, yeah. He just locks in when he hears that. And he's like, you know, they're homosexual. That's all he's interested in. You know, they're homosexual hangouts. And he's like, what? You know, Ben Stiller being like this, like. Perfect, like, confused straight loser. Man, like, yeah. Like, and he's like, yeah. What? What are you? He's like, oh, that's time. We'll have to pick that up next week. And then, like, you get, like, Matt Dillon, who is...
Who knew he was such a great role for that? You know what I mean? It's almost like one of the most perfect... In any genre of any movie, that's the casting that's been spot on.
Can't get over how good it is. That first meeting they have, and he's like... So what is it? She owes you money.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like...
Proper scuzz.
And then he's like, no, nothing. I just want... He's like, you expect me to believe this is a straight stalker case? Yes. And like, he stands up and his like pants are unbuckled and he's like tucking in his shirt. Okay, Ted, I'll take your case. But if she rolls over, if she shows up with a toe tag, I'm rolling over on you, big guy.
He gets his teeth all done. Yeah. And like, ew. Yeah.
And of course, then like... my favorite scene ever in movie, or in a comedy movie, is the fucking, after the hitchhiker. And like the two cops, and like, even before, like we were watching it, and they're like, why is he dabbing himself with a napkin? I was like, he's so fucking worked up. Yeah, and he's like, foaming, and he's like sweating. He's like, this wasn't your first time, Ted. He's like, hitchhikers? I don't know, like 50? He's like, oh, son of a bitch, you'll fry. Like, like, him going back in the chair, the hoodie over the head.
Oh, so fucking good.
Incredible. Like,
do you know, I was only watching Bill Murray on Hot Ones the other day, and he was talking about Kingpin.
So good.
And I still...
We've watched it.
I have seen it, but weren't we on Mushrooms?
We were on Mushrooms.
So I haven't really seen it. You know what
he's
I mean?
Incredible.
I feel like that's one that's such a blind spot for me, because like, it's a Farrelly Brothers comedy from the 90s. Like, what's
sandwiched in between Dumb and Dumber and Some Bear Mary? Yeah, like, it's like, an incredible run they're on. It's
a sweet spot. Like,
yeah.
So I have to get back, because Bill Murray was saying that's one of his favorite pieces of.
He does a lot of improv.
Of editing, he said, or even in that movie where he's like, he's saying something about ELO is playing the big bowling.
Showdown.
Yeah, Showdown. And he said, I still watch that and I think that's one of my favorite scenes that I've ever been in.
The great bit is like, because he's a really good bowler in real life.
Right.
My man Woody Harrelson. And they do a thing where like, he needs 3 strikes to win. And he gets the first one.
Yeah.
And it's in front of like a live crowd. And yeah. They're like, yeah. And then like, he gets the second one and like it almost doesn't go down, and when it does, like you see like the last pin goes, he's like, ooh, you know, to the crowd. They're all in it with him. They're like, they're wheeling him on to get it. Like, it's so fucking good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, that's one. I'll stick that on my own personal homework.
It's like 96, if we ever do 96.
Yeah. Well,
or Farrelly Brothers.
Now that I'd be up for.
Kind of gets a little bit like
Hall Pass.
Hall Pass is good. Hall Pass is good. Hall Pass is like, oh, they've got it kind of like, what happened here? Lightning hit the antenna, and then like Hall Pass like brings it back up. And then I think it's like Three Stooges.
Stuck on You, is that any good?
Stuck on You, actually, I quite like as well. Yeah. Stuck on You is like weird that they got Matt Damon like post. Or maybe during like the Bourne run.
Yeah, like at the peak of his A-list.
It's like they got Matt Damon. And Greg Kinnear. It's like, wait, those are the brothers? Like, we couldn't get Affleck, but we got Kinnear. Like, okay.
All right.
He's like, he's 10 years older than Damon. Doesn't matter.
It's
like,
$5 million. It's fine. Well, Terry, as far as this was...
Yeah, this was nice. It'll just catch up. Maybe, what would you say, like, stretch the muscles?
Yeah,
get us back in.
It's been so long, and I felt really... I felt it in... our absence.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
In absence.
Very well.
Of course.
But thank you very much for your patience. I hope you enjoyed the free Patreon episodes, of course. If you did like what you heard over the last 2 weeks, there's hundreds of other episodes waiting for you at patreon.com/whatssogreatabout.
Need you to lift the energy.
Okay, well, there you'll find about 50 top five episodes. You'll find What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About 90s Action, What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, What's So Great About Tony Scott, What's So Great About Heist Movies. All of these miniseries you'll find there on Patreon, and some videos.
Bunch of one-off ones as well. Perfect Day, Dream Festival.
That's What's Our Perfect Day, yeah, and What's Our Dream Festival. I would like to do another one on Patreon soon where we talk about our ideal something. You know what I mean?
We'll get a lot of main feed then.
Folks,
Patreon is for the movies only now, Andy.
Well, oh yeah, but if you're a patron, you can shape what these episodes look like. So hey, if you're a patron, and only if you're a patron, what would you like us to talk about, our ideal something?
Ooh, that's good.
Help us out. You know, our ideal, we've already done our Perfect Day. We've already done what our dream festival looks like. Which you can find on Patreon. But yeah, help us out there, huh?
Yeah. And
how else can they help us, Terry?
Well, if you can't afford the low fee of €5 a month for that bounty that's just behind the paywall, you can give me a rating and review. Now, Andy,
yeah,
did here you know
what you got in store this time? We didn't talk about it.
Not at all.
How many episodes of Adolescence?
I was going to... That's a low-hanging fruit. That's the low-hanging...
What else you got, Terry? You got any other fruit higher than those trees?
What do we talk about here? In Something About Mary.
Okay.
Chris Elliott has over 50 blisters on his face.
Chris back. Elliott?
Yes.
Who's Chris Elliott?
Don Woganowski. Woogie.
Oh, okay.
You ever have a whitehead on your eyeball, Andy? But I don't want a 50 blister review. I want a 5-star review.
All right. It's a bit of a stretch, but, you know.
Hey, it's a stretchy episode. We're just stretching our muscles, getting back in shape.
Getting back in the groove.
Yeah. Before we go, I want to say a big shout out to the lovely Neil Murray for doing our amazing theme music. Mm-hmm. You can catch him over on the socials, Neil Murray Music or Double PE Music. As well, he's gigging regularly around the Dublin area, yes, and beyond.
A gentleman and a gentleman.
Ah, very good.
You know? Yeah. So, on that note, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be back next week.
Twice last year.